Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
To go. 610, show number, are you ready? No 900. Woo! You know, there's been a long-standing tradition in this country to celebrate 900 shows. Why should today be any different?
Completely.
Goodbye, baby. We have big plans today. Well, the parade had to be canceled.
Because of the rain.
Because of the rain. The street carnival had to be canceled because of the rain. We're going to have a cake today, but what did you decide, Mary? You bring the cake tomorrow?
I have the cake.
Oh, you have the cake today?
Yes, I do. Cake. I brought it in the rain and everything.
Should we put 900 candles on it?
I think so.
I didn't do that. I didn't bring 900.
And then we need to call the Chicago Fire Department and have them standing
exactly,
by.
Exactly, yeah.
Or maybe the cast of Chicago Fire. 900 shows. Thank you for the support for 900 shows. That's it. That's the entire celebration for the 900 shows and the cake.
What, no special guests? What's going on?
Well, we have a great show, please.
Streamers, balloons.
Mike Mathis will be on later.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Mikey.
Mike Mathis is going to be a new member of the Walk of Fame. Got a great kid of the week today. Jen Lyons, the most powerful woman in America.
How awesome is she? Yesterday, I worked at
and
TV.
She uses her powers for good, not evil.
Oh, completely. Yeah. She's the best. Yesterday at TV, everyone was going up and saying, oh, most powerful woman. And she's going, all right, come on. Oh, no. She's so great.
So she agreed to come on today and take more grief about being the most powerful person in America.
Is there really not going to be cake, really?
There is cake.
Oh, there is cake. Okay.
Yeah.
Hello?
There's not.
Yeah. But thanks for following along.
Mike Mathis, Jen Lyons, and cake.
What, are you on like a 60-second delay now, or what's going on there?
I thought I heard it, and I wasn't sure, so I thought I'd...
He hasn't physically seen the cake,
I have not,
so
that's why I was concerned.
Hey, Steve, is there going to be cake?
I don't know. Let's check with Grzanich.
There is. We have confirmed there will be
cake. Yeah, we have confirmed cake.
Confirmed.
Mike Mathis, Jen Lyons, and cake.
All right, 6:12. Why don't we do it? Top 6 at 6.
Time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top 6 at 6.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
6.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is 6.
The top 6 at 6 on 720 WGN.
She came, she saw, she kicked ass. Sally Yates showed up and testified at the Senate Russian hearing yesterday. The former acting attorney general told lawmakers on Monday that she had warned the president that Michael Flynn was in the position of being blackmailed and should not be the national security advisor and frankly shouldn't be anywhere near the president. It then took the president, and by the way, the president was also warned by President Obama. Remember the 2 days after he was elected, he came out and he looked like, holy crap, what did I get myself into? Mm-hmm. And he was humble. And he thanked President Obama, and you're thinking, well, maybe we're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then he didn't get rid of Michael Flynn. Obama, in that meeting, apparently told the president, here's what we know about Flynn. He's got to go.
Right, right.
Sally Yates confirmed that yesterday. Not only did he not lose his job immediately, it took 18 days more. And he may still be there, if not for the fact that the Washington Post wrote the story. Several Republicans tried to focus on the fact that the Washington Post had the leak information as opposed to what the testimony was about. Sally Yates at one point blew Ted Cruz out of the room when Ted Cruz tried to hang her up over the travel ban, which had nothing to do with yesterday's hearing. I thought she was great.
I thought she was, too. I watched a huge chunk. I saw the Ted Cruz exchange. Al Franken, by the way, hilarious when he went off the rails. But Sally Yates, calm, cool, composed.
And professional.
I'm telling you, she should run for something. She should run for higher office because she was great.
And professional to the core. And former DNI director Clapper, who has served in the intelligence business for 50 years, wanted to be anywhere but there and did his job and went through the process and said essentially the same thing. That we have a problem here. I am not involved in the Russia investigation. No, I cannot point to this specific or that specific that ties the Trump people to it. Mm-hmm. But for instance, Clapper, 50 years. Sean Spicer, the Spicy Man, He comes out yesterday and again reiterates that it was the Obama administration's job to vet Michael Flynn.
Come on. I know. I heard
it's that. Completely idiotic.
Well, it's a diversion.
Well, but it's just stupid. You can't buy into this. Mm-mm. Because the previous guy's job is not—it's not his job to make sure that your employees are okay
and that you do your job.
He fired Michael Flynn long before this ever came up. Michael Flynn still had security clearance only because people do that in Washington. They keep their security clearance until it's taken away by someone far less busy and less involved than the president in that particular track. The White House, the Obama White House, had nothing to do with Michael Flynn being within feet of the president. And the president who defended Flynn to the end now has to explain why he kept him around for 18 days and why he would have kept him around beyond that.
Yeah.
He still refuses to throw the guy under the bus.
Right. And they also say it's a huge apology.
So, which, you know, not going to happen. Well, neither one's going to happen for that matter.
Was I the only one watching Clapper thinking, man, this guy could kill a man with his bare hands?
Oh, I believe he has. Yeah. One of the deaths, by the way, was over cake.
Yeah.
Mitch McConnell in the news created a 13-man working group on health care, including conservatives and foes of the Affordable Care Act. By the way, no women.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, no women. They will be discussing women's issues.
Of course,
they'll
yeah.
be discussing things about whether women should get preferential health care or at least equal health care, and also whether or not pregnancy is a... is a pre-existing condition.
It's sick, and it's ridiculous, and it's archaic.
Zero women on. And once again, Mitch McConnell coming through for America. Senior Trump administration and military folks recommending sending several thousand more American troops to try to break a deadlock in Afghanistan. The 15-year war continues there. It's been such a busy week. We didn't even touch on this yesterday other than a brief mention. But the ISIS leader the leader of ISIS in Afghanistan, we got him with a drone this week. So another fine job there. But again, more troops on the ground. Again, this wasn't supposed to happen, but it is. I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just saying the people that voted for President Trump, the first people in line to vote for President Trump, are those most likely to have kids in harm's way now as these wars are amped up. Polls about to close in Korea, South Korea specifically, an election to choose a successor to President Park. The president was forced from office in a corruption scandal. Billions of dollars in commercial real estate development, new sports fields, bridges, a new metro station, and other infrastructure could be coming to about a four-mile stretch on the river. Where is that going to be?
760 acres. It's going to be, there's a new metro station as well right along the river, a little bit west of Franklin area.
So Franklin and what?
So, you know, kind of where the Lyric Opera is, right around that area, canal-ish. It's going to be
a lot of buildings
huge,
there now?
Huge, as they say.
Isn't there a lot of buildings? I don't know what the open space is.
Kind of
there.
Along, it includes where Finkel and Sons, too, so it's going to be north, too. So
but,
that
I mean, is
corridor,
there stuff they got to knock down?
They're going to have to knock down, yeah. They're going to have to knock down quite a bit. They're going to have a huge park, 10 acres of park space as well, which is going to be very cool.
The mayor's coming in on Thursday, I believe, to talk about it.
It's going to be really nice.
And finally, the story you anticipated, obviously. Bill Clinton's writing a novel. Bill Clinton and James Patterson are getting together on a new novel called The President is Missing.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. I don't know if it took place in like 98 when he's hiding from Hillary.
You said it like Liam Neeson.
Yes. The president's missing.
He's been taken.
So there you go. That is everything you need to know for the early part of the program. The top six stories are always the six stories which we know are going to come up in conversation of the news throughout the day. And we do it every day. Oddly enough, in the 6 o'clock hour, which is why it's called the top six at six. Looks like we 900 shows. Celebration happening all over Chicago. We have reporters stationed around the Chicago metro area. And we'll be being told we don't have any reporters stationed anywhere. But it is 900 shows, which is 899 more than we could have had. Could have ended on day one.
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite?
I thought 374 was strong. Yeah. 611 was good. How about you guys?
I like 522.
522 wasn't bad.
Yeah. 408.
I hadn't thought about 408. 408 was a good day. Yeah.
It was tough. Started out tough, but ended up okay, I think.
Remember when Vandeveld lost her mind, started throwing things in show 129?
That was crazy.
That was early.
I don't remember that one.
And in show 147 and in show 2.
Yeah.
Thank
God she got on her meds.
Yeah.
Hey.
What? Kid of the Week coming up. Great Kid of the Week we want to tell you about and later on in the studio. There's no way to describe this, really, other than to say you got to hear this kid that's coming in. He lost his mom to breast cancer. He goes to school downstate at Illinois State. He's taking the train to come up here in studio so he can talk about his mom and talk about raising money for breast cancer research.
And wait to hear how much he raised.
Yeah. I mean, the kid's phenomenal.
Isn't he in the middle of finals right now?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's got a break today, and he's coming up on the train this morning. This was going to be one segment on the show. And the kid goes, no, I want to come in. When he comes up, we go, no, we're blowing out all the, everything else.
I know why he's coming in. Okay. He wants Portillo's cake.
Ah. There is that.
We'll give him a piece.
Bonus. Yeah, you're going to have to protect some of that from Steve. Grzanich means well. But when he gets around Portillo's cake, he turns into like the Tasmanian devil.
You know what Steve does? It's funny. You know how you cut a piece of cake and then you kind of distribute the cake and hand it out to different people? I've seen Steve like cut a piece of cake, put that aside, and then just take the whole cake.
Right.
Yeah. I've never done that.
Piece
Come on.
Cake.
He doesn't cut a piece. He cuts a quarter. That's
I always
his
wait
piece,
for everybody else to
cake.
Get cake before I take it.
Uh-huh.
What about John DeCosta's birthday? You making another cake tonight or are you going to try to hide some?
No, this is it. John didn't come in. That's, you know what? Snooze, you lose.
But he's
found
coming
the cake,
tomorrow.
Probably.
I think
he's
we should
going
have
in tomorrow.
We should have another cake.
It's in the refrigerator.
Well, you bring that one, Andre.
How about two straight days of cake? I'm not the Portillo's cake maker.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Mary, look, it's not our fault that you are a tremendous talent when it comes to baking.
It's not that difficult to make this cake, okay?
So, thank you. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, it's up to you, Mary, to save the show. That's it.
We want to show 901, for gosh sakes. Come on.
You know, I brought this cake recipe to a bridal shower, because they asked for recipes for the bride. Put it in a book, and they were passing the book around. I'm not kidding. There was a girl taking a picture of the recipe in the book on her phone.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm just going to take this recipe. I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's so easy.
That's what I'm talking about.
Do we have to wait for somebody to cut this cake? We found it, by the way. It's in the refrigerator.
Yes, you do have to wait.
No, you don't refrigerate Portillo's cake.
Oh, it's not in the refrigerator.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's hidden. All right, and we look forward to your second cake for John DeCosta tomorrow.
Yes.
Ted Cruz, is one of the more annoying people on the planet because he feels he's the smartest person in the room. He gets that look on his face like, I'm the smartest person in the room, and then he attacks. And he really thought he had Sally Yates yesterday. Listen to this exchange.
By the express text of the statute, it says, quote, whenever the president finds that the entry of any alien or of any class of aliens into the United States would be detrimental to the interests of the United States, he may, by proclamation and for such period as he shall deem necessary, suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants, or impose on the entry of aliens any restrictions he may deem appropriate. Would you agree that that is broad statutory authorization?
I would, and I am familiar with that. And I'm also familiar with an additional provision of the INA that says no person shall receive preference or be discriminated against in issuance of a visa because of race, nationality, or place of birth. That, I believe, was promulgated after the statute that you just quoted. And that's been part of the discussion with the courts with respect to the INA, is whether this more specific statute trumps the first one that you just described. Concern was not an INA concern here. It rather was a constitutional concern.
Mic drop, Sally.
Just nailed him.
Oh, booyah.
There's another exchange, too, which we have time we'll play for you later, where Ted Cruz comes back around. And he makes some comment about her blowing off the president again. Is there ever in the history of the attorney general's office of 200 years been a situation where the attorney general has done that? And she said, I'm not aware of any, but I'm also not aware of a time where the attorney general was not informed and was told by the White House not to inform the attorney general.
She was so well-versed on
she
everything.
She was so ready for the Ted Cruz.
Completely. And for him trying to explain the law and the Constitution to the acting attorney general, come on.
And he left.
He did.
He left.
Yep.
After he got schooled, he left. He did a little temper tantrum, went back to his office or wherever he goes. That's the best part about Trump being president, that Ted Cruz isn't president. It's 6:28. We'll come back with a big story on 720 WGN.
Boom. Roasted.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
I'll introduce you to our Kid of the Week here in just a second, and sponsored by Allstate. And then, Mary, I need a detailed explanation on how David Ross is still on Dancing with the Stars. I mean, he's lovable. Everybody likes him.
Yeah.
But he's, and you know, he's certainly doing things I couldn't do. Mm-hmm. But he's not good enough to be continuing on a show.
Not real coordinated, though.
So, Vandeveld with a complete takedown.
Very complicated.
Allstate believes good starts young and works towards inspiring the next generation of leaders to reach their full potential, make the world a better place. In the spirit of Allstate's Good Starts Young initiative, you can help. Help us recognize a youth that goes above and beyond. Nominate a kid for Kid of the Week, a kid that could be featured here on the Cochran Show. Win prizes, including Amazon gift card, Lou Malnati's Pizza. Go to WGNradio.com/contest to submit an entry for a kid between 9 and 18 that you think ought to be the Allstate Kid of the Week. And then tune in every Tuesday to hear the Allstate Kid of the Week, like the one you're about to meet right now. It is Jane Lind. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am great. How are you?
I am fine. I love your attitude. You know, it's a rainy day, and you've already changed my attitude. How old are you?
I'm 14 years old.
Freshman in high school?
No, I'm going to be a freshman next school year.
Okay, and where do you go to school?
I go to school in Byron, Illinois.
All right, what's the name of the school?
Byron Middle School.
You got a favorite teacher there you want to mention?
I really like Mrs. Riley. She's the 7th grade math teacher.
Okay, and is math a specialty of yours?
Not really.
But she made it easier for you.
She helped the student council and everything. Oh, okay. And she did make it a lot easier for me.
And who is Susan Stoga to you?
Susan Stoga, she is the relation person and the kind of contact information person at Let It Be Us, the charity we helped donate money to.
Here's a story of young Jane. Through her advocacy, Jane led a team of 100 middle schools to raise $22,000 for Let It Be Us to send Illinois kids in care. These are foster kids to summer camp. So, you know, foster kids, you know, it's a rough go. And your families are going to take care of them, but they don't get to do the stuff other kids get to do. And through your efforts, 20 kids attended a special camp for trauma. Dozens of others attend overnight and day camps. You're the Northwest Region rep for Illinois, the Association of Junior High Student Councils. And Let It Be Us, and created an understanding of what foster care is and the stigma surrounding it, and for thousands of middle school students in Illinois, helped them learn about it as well. And you know, this is the type of thing that opens the door. Maybe a family of a student who participated in this will end up becoming a foster family down the road or adopting from foster care, all because of the fire you started, Jane. So you ought to be very proud of yourself.
Thank you so much. And it's not just me. After I did the presentation for the board, it was like a whole statewide effort of all the member schools of the IAJHSC. We all worked together, and I know that I can speak for everyone when I say that we all got an amazing feeling knowing that we helped, because that's what student council is, helping people, just helping them, which is, it really is an amazing feeling knowing that we're helping people.
Jane, you are, I mean, you should really be commended, you and all your friends, and you're very modest because that's a lot of money to raise for this cause, and you could have picked any cause. How did you select Let It Be Us?
I selected Let It Be Us because I actually had a group of friends that were foster children, and I got to watch the whole process of them getting adopted into a nice family and everything like that, and it was just really moving to me. And I have a couple family members that are a part of my life because of this process. So
wow.
When I saw Let It Be Us and I read about it, I just fell in love. And I loved everything they did and everything they did to help.
You sure you're 14?
Yeah.
You got a great heart, kid. You really do.
She'll be our boss in probably, what, a year or two?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you work for Sinclair? never mind. It's a different topic. You think you might foster kids yourself someday?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I.
Well, you don't have to decide now. You're 14.
I've been multiple times.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm proud of you. You sound like an amazing young lady, and I'm glad that what was her name again? Susan Stoga. I recognize you for this because she's one to let us know about you. But I know it's going to lead you to do other charitable things. It's like writing a book that's successful. You got to write another one. Now you got to go out and find another project. But it's a good problem to have. Keep up the support of foster kids. Keep looking for new ways to help. And keep teaching your friends your age who maybe aren't as aware how they can help as well.
Thank you so much. That made me feel really good.
Well, you're great. So great. You're a great person. You hold on.
See you, Jane.
Now, if that doesn't make you feel good about it, I mean, come on. It's pouring.
So cute.
It's gray. It's pouring rain. It's nasty outside. And you get that kid bringing sunshine into your life.
How about that, too? You're friends with some foster kids, and you think instead of just being friends like normal kids would be, she thinks, oh, I'm going to help you. I'm going to raise money for you. I'm going to help you get adopted.
Gives you faith in the generation, right?
Wow. I think we should make her a regular. Anytime we're just like the weather's bad or we're just crabby, let's call her up.
Yeah, she should write speeches.
Point.
She's so articulate.
She could be the mascot for the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The good mood mascot for the show.
Right, right. Or she can do the show and we'll be the mascots.
No, because aren't we the mascots? You guys all be whining, complaining.
Yeah.
Look, you even cheered Mary up. It's impossible to cheer Mary up.
God.
Woo-hoo. I am happy today.
What? It's a new day.
Quote that.
I got to check with Mary's conscience and see if Mary's conscience agrees that that Mary's happy today. Mary's conscience, is Mary actually happy today?
Well, just a ray of sunshine.
All right. Just checking. Just checking to be sure. Again, for...
Do I really got to make a second cake?
For me?
Come on. That's going to take another 90 minutes out of my day.
Got to clean the bathrooms today.
Jane is already worn off.
I told Steve to stop at the cleaners. He forgot, so I got to go do that today.
By the way, get the order right, Mary. Make the cake, then clean the bathroom. Yeah.
Jane just texted and said she doesn't want any part of us anymore.
Yeah, right. It went well for a while. At any rate, Lou Malnati's Pizza for Jane. And you know who doesn't love that? 1-800-LOU-TO-GO, loumalnatis.com. And also an Amazon gift card. The Allstate Kid of the Week on the Steve Cochran Show. All right, 6:51. I'm not encouraging you to miss the Sean Spicer show today. Spicy Spicerman, the spiciest Spicer of all. He's on between. He was on early yesterday. It screwed me up because I was running around doing things and I missed him. I missed the Spice Man. You don't want to miss Spicy if you can. Catch him between 12:30 and 2 most days. It's the White House Daily Briefing. And, but like, challenge me on anything. Like, I'll go, it's sunny out today.
Hey, Steve.
That's the Sean Spicer response. Wait.
Did you see the exchange, by the way?
Come on.
It was last week about when he was talking about the border wall and one of the reporters called it a fence and he went nuts saying,
yeah,
it's not a fence. It's a wall.
Yeah,
this
it's
is
a wall.
Divvy wall.
Like a name for it. What was it? Yeah, it's like a divvy bike, a divvy wall or something.
Yeah.
It's just a colossal amount of BS coming out of the White House.
Do you feel like if you miss an episode, it's like missing a soap opera, kind of missing a day?
I'd like to binge watch it. Oh, I'd like to get all of them in advance where I could just sit down and watch them because it's the same crap every day, but it gets entertaining. So if they could do maybe a dozen in advance and I could watch them in advance and clear my schedule a little bit.
John, it's raining out.
Wait. It just is not impressive.
Oh, no.
At 6:52, Mary Vandeveld will now explain to us how David Ross, the beloved Chicago Cubs World Series hero, is still on Dancing with the Stars.
Well, it's a complete, fan vote for sure. I think he's so lovable. Like last night, he danced to Humble and Kind by Tim McGraw. I mean, seriously, it was just very...
Isn't that pandering? Wouldn't we call that pandering in the professional
dance
world?
Well, Lindsay, his partner picked the song. Lindsay picked the song, and, he waltzed and kind of strutted around. But he's just so cute. And I don't know why they keep saying he's such a grandpa. I mean, he's not that old.
No, he's
right?
40, right?
He's 40, but,
I mean, he looks older than 40, but then again, I look older than 56, I'm told.
No.
They're just acting like he's so old, and he's not. But anyway, the reason he's left is because he's still there because they've kicked off some of the really good dancers, Heather Morris, Nancy Kerrigan. They're both gone, and they were super good. They should have made it to the semis.
Who got eliminated or voted off?
Last night, Bonner got eliminated, the rodeo guy.
Bonner, the guy from U2?
Bonner.
Lead singer U2.
Bonner.
Bonner?
Yes,
the rodeo guy who had the rodeo accident?
Yes, he had broken his spine.
Oh, I thought he was a drummer. Oh, no, it's Bonham.
Drummer?
That's Bonham. Forget it.
That's Bonham. Anyway, he got ousted last night. So that leaves, David, Simone, the gymnast, Normani. She should take it all. Normani should win. And
that's a girl from the
fifth dimension.
It's not the fifth dimension. What's her group?
Fifth Harmony.
Fifth Harmony. Fifth Dimension. Grandmother wasn't alive when Fifth Dimension was popular.
Anyway, and Rashad is left too. Football player, Rashad Jennings. And
he's good.
He's very good. But Normani should take it all. They're saying Simone is just too stiff and too robotic and, doesn't give anything else. And I don't know. It's really funny, but I'm proud of David Ross. I mean, I think he's awesome.
Well, and it seems genuine, the clips that I've seen where he says, look, I shouldn't even be on the show. I should be eliminated.
He knows.
And then he talks about how I'm old enough to be her father, so it's awkward when we have to do the tango.
Yeah, and he had to dance with two girls last night.
What was the deal with the girl stepping on Ross's shoes? It reminded me when I was little and I would step
remember?
On, you'd go to a wedding.
Or dance with your dad.
Dance with my dad and I would step on his toes and he would kind of lead you. So when she did that to him, I thought that was a little weird.
Well, it's a little weird, but it was part of the choreography. Demonstrating, how when you grow up and your parents give you things to say, like always hold the door for someone, say please and thank you. That's the words of the song.
It's still weird.
So yeah, it was kind of like,
you're not surprised that David Ross, beloved Chicago Cubs World Series hero, is still on Dancing with the Stars.
No, but I think he'll be gone next week actually, because then that'll be the semifinals.
Yeah, they gotta get it down to the dancers.
Yeah, unless they knock off. Simone, maybe, or Rashad.
Speaking of crap on TV, when is House of Cards back? Isn't it this week?
Soon, yeah.
I don't know. I don't watch it.
Isn't it the end of the week?
Isn't it Friday?
I've been seeing a lot of teasers on social media.
Did you guys get the email from President Underwood?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Now he's saying, you'll see it. I don't want to spoil it. But it's basically teasing the new season, and it's a note from President Underwood.
Well, was the campaign ad this year or last year where they had the giant FU for Frank Underwood?
that was last year.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
How about when they ended, season two? Just with the FU ring? It just kind of was the close up of his ring.
Last year was all about the First Lady.
Yeah.
So we don't know what this season's going to be, but I think it's Friday. I think they dumped the entire series Friday. All right, so that's your roundup of television. 6:56, the Steve Cochran Show continues. After 7, the return of the great Mike Mathis. We'll talk to Mike about being honored on the Walk of Fame. And that's coming up, too, in just a couple of weeks on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, literally hundreds of people that have worked at thousands of people that have worked at WGN over the course of the last 90 years or so. This next guy is one of the most popular. Have you ever, honestly, and Mary Vandeveld, you can speak to this as well because you probably spent more time with him than any of us, but he did my show. Have you ever met anyone who said anything negative about Mike Mathis?
No.
Nobody?
No. And Mikey, always so positive about everything.
It was good, just a good dude. Have you ever met anyone who said anything positive about me?
Tons of people.
Yeah, lots
oh, yes.
Of
people.
Yeah,
look,
everybody.
They're lining up right now on Michigan Avenue.
Sorry. There they are. I was waiting for the crickets.
Uh-oh, the crickets must mean that Mike Mathis won't be on the show. Oh, that's Mike Madigan. That's a different MM.
Different Mike.
Mike Madigan. Of course, when you hear the crickets, regardless of the reason, you can call and win. You guys will let me know who won and what. But first, let's go to new Walk of Famer, our old pal Mike Mathis. Hi, buddy.
Hello, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. I miss you.
I miss you, too. I miss all of you.
We miss you, Mikey.
Obviously, none of you people have talked to my wife lately. That's for sure. I can tell.
How is Mary?
She's just great.
Oh, you know who we should talk to is Mike's old cop buddies.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they got something to tell us about them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so when was the first time you flew for the station?
1983.
And how did it come about?
Well, one of the guys was the guy that John Camden was his name. John was the flight guy for the county and a Chicago police officer for the city. And John, he had a backup that would take care of his vacation or any time he got sick or anything like that. And he decided he didn't want to do it anymore. And so he was gone somewhere else. So they needed somebody to replace him. And I had played with, I don't know, a couple hundred other people and got really lucky.
So you were interested in doing it at that point?
Yes.
Had you...
It was a whole lot better than chasing kids, you know, chasing people for beating their kids. That's all I did, so...
Right, and you get to a certain point, even at a younger age, where it's like the clip from the movie Going in Style.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where an old guy's running, he goes, I'm not stopping because I'm guilty. I'm stopping because I'm tired.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. All right, so the first time you fly and you look down at traffic from that perspective, you know, my point, I guess, is the job's harder than it looks, right? You got to read the roads from above.
Absolutely. The world looks so much different. The traffic, period. The streets don't look like the streets that you call them when you're 500 feet off the ground.
Right.
Boy.
You know, the Kennedy just doesn't look like the Kennedy. It just looks like the Eisenhower that's sitting virtually right next to it.
Yeah. Mikey.
And the Edens, you know, and the rest of them.
Mikey, we miss you. We love you. And you know what? I love the stories that you would come back, you'd land at Midway, and you would always talk. You flew in some crazy weather. But tell the story about when you were at Midway and what happened to the chopper. With the high winds, didn't it tip over?
Oh well, yeah, but luckily nobody was in it, so that was okay. But the winds were it was a what did they call them straight line gust?
Yeah, straight line winds. Yeah,
yeah, and it was not good. And we were debating on whether or not to we were waiting for the official call, as it were, that the pilot in command would make to determine whether or not you're going to fly that day. And he didn't have to make the call.
No, once the
tipped over.
Once your ride
that
tips
was the
over.
End of it. Yep.
But it is more, you know, listen, we know it's much more dangerous. We lost a chopper pilot early on after Jan started flying. So, you know, you take that on. Did you ever have a particularly rough ride that you remember?
We had several. We've had a few. We landed in some snowy conditions when all of a sudden we were up at O'Hare, just south of O'Hare, where the 290 turns and goes north on around Route 53.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden, I mean, you couldn't see in any, either direction. So the pilot obviously had to land immediately. So we just, you know, you're almost kind of closing your eyes, remembering, if you can, what this ground looked like, the terrain looked like under you. Because that's all, you're only going as far as between your knees.
You
look down and that's where you're going. And fortunately, everything worked out pretty well for us, all the time.
And he always scared me half to death because he would call and he'd be like, yeah, we seem to be having some, Mary, Chopper 1, we have blizzard conditions. Yeah, we're going to land at about 5. And he'd say so calmly, and I'd be like, Mike, get down.
Well, there was nothing to worry about then. And if something did happen that had to worry about, it was too late. So, you know, it didn't pay to do bother working.
The good news is if you need to maintain, you know, a calm, cool composure, definitely talk to Mary Vandeveld right before you crash.
Oh, dear God. Mikey, I have to out you, too, by the way, because everybody knows you for your award-winning coverage and goofing around with Kathy and Judy, but this guy used to have epic parties. Pool parties.
Mathis?
Right? He'd wheel out this huge grill and he'd be grilling everything and the pool party. Mikey, you had the best parties.
Thank you very much. Well, I still have the pool, although I need some water.
They always ended the same way, though. Dave would get drunk and someone would have to drive
That's
along.
Not true.
What? What?
That's not true at all.
That's not true.
We had little kids back then. My kids loved your pool.
Yeah, great.
Absolutely. Yeah, everybody's kids were, you know, even mine were, you know, obviously just as about the same age as a lot of them. And I turn around now and mine are 40.
Wow. How's the family? Everybody good?
Everybody's fine.
Good.
Thank you, Dave. Everybody's doing well. The kids are, thankfully, they're producing and reproducing. So I've got four wonderful grandkids now that we're having a ball with.
Oh, that's fun. You heard I joined the club, right? I got one.
Right. About 16 months old now.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
It's the best. All right. So who told you you were on the Walk of Fame? Was it Todd Manley?
It sure was. And I'll tell you what, you could have knocked me over with a feather. honest to God, it was just, I told him, and he, well, you could tell because I couldn't say anything. I was kind of speechless.
It's a nice honor, and it's well-deserved. You're a huge part of this place for a very long time. And by the way, you remember when Mathis left?
Oh.
Yeah, you know, one day he's here, the next day he's not.
Right.
It wasn't like he was going to go, hey, a month from now I'm leaving. He just disappeared.
Right. Epic retirement party, though.
Well, yeah, it was a lot of fun. But sometimes things happen a little bit quicker than you'd really like them to.
Yeah.
But you went back to the police department then.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, well, no, he did. But my point was he didn't want to make it all about himself.
Right.
You know, he just wanted to leave. When I leave again,
it will be all about you.
Oh, believe me, we'll shut this sucker down.
Oh, good.
And I would be proud to help you, Steve. Mm-hmm.
We have that to look forward to.
Look forward to seeing you out here in a couple of weeks. It's, as I said, an honor well deserved. Anybody else want to say anything to Mike Mathis?
We love you, Mike.
Yes, we love you. We miss you so much.
Congratulations.
Can't wait to
congrats,
see you.
Congrats, Mike.
All right.
Thank you very much.
A couple weeks away, buddy. Thanks. Hold on. That's Mike Mathis, legendary WGN traffic chopper. Was it Traffic Chopper 1?
Chopper 1, yeah.
It's funny because we had two at one point.
Yeah, we did have two.
But then we had one and we still called it 1.
Yeah, right.
So, could be
I'm
traffic,
like, wait, there is no
traffic 2. Traffic Chopper only.
Right, exactly.
Back on the Steve Cochran Show. I know what you're saying. You're saying, Steve, what about Kellyanne Conway? I never hear about Kellyanne Conway anymore.
They joke that she's in the basement now?
Yeah. Kellyanne Conway had to be restrained by Secret Service after allegedly being heckled during an airport stop. According to a Washington photographer named Mark Wilkins, Conway arrived at Reagan on Monday, Reagan Airport, and was greeted by a heckler who kept shouting, "Keep trashing America," at the president's counselor.
Ooh.
Wilkins told the website Conway had her fill of the heckler, and Conway fired back, "I like the way you talk S-word when I'm walking away."
Okay.
The photographer claimed that the Secret Service had to intervene, and they stood between her and the heckler to block her.
You know, don't engage, Kellyanne.
Right.
Don't do it.
Secret Service stopped her. The two of them put their arms up and blocked her. The photographer said the guy was just an a-hole, technical term. Conway then returned to, where is she, in the basement?
She's in the basement, yes.
She's in the basement.
Yes, okay. Last we've heard.
Last we knew, Conway in the basement.
Exactly.
And one other follow-up story. Whatever happened to the story of the giant rabbit that died on a United Airlines flight?
Oh, yeah. Remember?
I've got more. United Airlines hadn't fully explained what happened. Of course, a lawyer is involved now. I wonder how much money there is in being a rabbit attorney. You think there's good money in being a bunny attorney? I mean, I got bunnies all over my yard. They might be looking for business cards.
That's a good point.
United Airlines hasn't explained why a giant rabbit died after being flown from London to Chicago, or why it had the animal cremated within hours of its death. And that's always a tough decision for a bunny, cremation or burial.
Yeah.
It's just, either way, it's not a happy ending.
All right.
No, go ahead. No, I want to hear. No, finish the end.
Yeah.
Aren't you cute?
You should really be on Eric and Kathy if you're
going
to do
the puns. No, I want to hear the end of the story. It was good.
Des Moines attorney Guy Cook, representing an Iowa group that brought the Continental Giant, bought the Continental Giant rabbit named Simon. I don't know anything about rabbits. A Continental Giant rabbit, that's a special breed?
Sounds like it.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Go ahead, say it, Andre.
This was a big rabbit.
You wanted to say something else.
What? No.
Big as a child.
It's giant. It's a giant rabbit.
Yeah, apparently a Continental Giant rabbit. Yeah.
It's like a GMO rabbit.
It's like two and a half feet high. Two and a half feet. It's a big rabbit.
Two and a half feet high.
Yeah.
Was it that big?
It was a giant rabbit.
2.5 feet high. How do you know it's not a short tourist?
Yeah. Ryan Burrow, I think, covered all of this yesterday. And Ryan, this was a giant rabbit, right?
Oh, my God. I just saw images of it.
It's at least as big as a child.
It's not that
big.
Sure
it is.
No, I'm looking at a picture of it right now.
It had its own seat in first class.
It is a big
bunny.
Look at
that.
That's
there.
A continental... Big giant rabbit, Steve.
Oh, that's not a rabbit. That's
no,
a dude in a suit.
It's like a puppy.
Dude in a suit.
That's
like
what
a
it
kangaroo,
is.
But his ears are bigger.
So this Des Moines attorney, Guy Cook, representing the IR group that bought the rabbit, seeking an explanation of why he was cremated, sent a letter to United on May 4th, but hasn't received a reply as of yesterday. United's taken no action on this, Cook said, raising larger questions about how the airline treats the animals it transports. This is my favorite line. This case is about more than just one rabbit.
That's right.
Its name is Simon, too, by the way.
Now, for the people that lost the bunny, we're sorry you lost the bunny. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the world will find us amusing on some level because they didn't lose the bunny. Especially on the heels of all the other problems that United Airlines has had.
Oh, big time.
So was this a comfort bunny? What's the
therapy bunny?
A therapy bunny?
No,
it was a show bunny.
If he was a therapy bunny, he would have been.
Oh, they were taking the bunny to show it somewhere?
Yeah, I think he would have had a vest on if it was a therapy bunny.
Yeah.
That's not helpful, Steve.
And are there bunny shows?
It's funny, though.
Yeah,
like at the show bunny? You know, they have the
Wait, hold on a second. They have bunny shows?
I didn't think they had
bunny shows. Well, no, rabbits are livestock. They show them at 4-H and at State and County Fairs. That's big O.
They were taking the giant bunny to turn him into stew?
Yeah, I believe so, in Iowa.
That's stew.
This bunny was big enough to pull a plow.
No, this bunny was saved, though. That's not that big.
This is not a plow bunny. What are you talking about?
It's not humongous.
That's not the bunny.
It's bigger than big.
That's a different bunny. The bunny was the bunny that Dave held up. Dave just showed me a picture.
No, I wasn't holding.
I mean, the bunny that the kid in the picture held up looks like it's about 3 feet tall.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is Simon, and Simon's father Darius is the biggest rabbit in the world.
Let's go to live to Ryan Burrow in a field somewhere with a bunny. All right, how big is this bunny, Ryan? Oops, hold on a second. I'm making sure you
live in a field. Did you say?
Yeah, he's in a field. That's where bunnies are.
Come on, hop to it, Ryan.
Yeah, it was. It's
all right. Both of you
long.
Work for Eric and Kathy immediately.
It was supposed to be entered into a competition at the Iowa State Fair. It was purchased from the UK, and now the question is: it seems as though the breeder, which came from the UK, reached some kind of agreement with United. So where does the transfer of power come with this rabbit? Does it come with the breeder who put the rabbit on the plane, or does it come with the Iowa investors who invested all of this money? So they're the ones kicking and screaming right now, saying, "Wait a minute, our rabbit that we invested all this money in is dead." Meanwhile, the breeder's like, "Well, you know what? I reached a settlement with United, so I'm good on my end."
The rabbit have a power of attorney?
And these are some billable hours, aren't they?
Well,
billable hours.
The question, the Daily Mail reported that the bunny may have been put inside of a freezer for several hours, and that was why it died. But because they cremated it immediately after its death, nobody seems to know what exactly.
Why would they put the bunny in a freezer?
Well, we United denies that was the case. They say it was kept in a kennel area, which is where all pets go, in 70-degree temperatures. It was checked on frequently, and when one of the employees went and checked on it, all of a sudden it was dead. So there's no autopsy because it was cremated immediately after.
Isn't the kennel area the luggage compartment beneath the plane?
Well, it goes into a holding because, remember, this was ultimately headed to, it sounds like, Kansas, although it was going to compete in Iowa. So there was going to be a transfer.
But what is the competition? I don't understand the bunny show. What do they do?
State Fair. Oh,
you got
to get Orion on here. There's some beautiful livestock and animals that
come out. But what happens to the bunny? Does the bunny turn into stew? That's
my
question.
He gets spared. He gets like a pardon, you know, like the turkey at the White House gets a pardon.
Yeah, and he gets a
blue
ribbon.
The big bunny gets a pardon.
But what the hell does the bunny do at the show? The bunny
jumps out of a giant hat.
No, you know what he does?
He humps. He humps. That's what bunnies do. Bunny humps.
They breed. That's why they say
on stage.
Do it
what
like
is
rabbits.
It? Bunny porn?
No, it's not bunny porn. But that's what they do. They breed to make other bunnies.
And this was supposed.
How
to
is that a show?
World's largest. Bunny
hey, you know
at
what?
Yeah. The world's biggest bunny.
It was supposed to be his dad was, right. And they
to
expected
each his
this
own.
One to be
weighs 250 pounds.
So there's a lot of financials involved there.
How much did the bunny cost?
We don't know that. I don't know that. I'm sure it would be in euro anyways.
Awesome.
Can we get an average cost of a giant bunny, please? Could someone get me a cost of a giant bunny?
We should ask Big O. Yeah, Big O will know
this. I'm Googling it right now. Google.
Okay. All right. So you've been listening to Bunny Update. It's a regular feature on the show. Giant Bunny Update. We do it every Tuesday morning at 7:20.
Welsh, right?
The bunny?
Yeah.
Welsh. Oh, I don't know. He's waiting for his 23andMe DNA report to come back.
Possibly tens of thousands of dollars in damages.
Tens of thousands of dollars.
Well, they want the travel costs, they want the cost of the bunny, and then everything that they would have won if this bunny had won competitions.
But they don't even know if he would have won.
No, they don't.
What if he didn't breed properly?
I still want to know why there's a show for bunnies. I don't understand what the bunny
have
does.
Have you never been to a county fair?
Of course I have.
Where they, okay, and you
but
see,
I've never seen a bunny show.
I've never seen a bunny either.
It's a talent competition. The bunny comes out and sings and dances.
They're just like other livestock is displayed.
Bunny
like
comes out in a swimsuit competition. Bunny answers questions.
Cows and pigs. You know, they have a building at the Illinois State Fair named after Orion.
I'm aware of that. Yeah, yeah.
So we'll ask him.
When they retire, they do magic shows.
So the bunny does?
That's life after, yeah.
Again, if anyone's offended by this, we apologize for taking it very seriously, but we do want to know the answer. We're trying to get you the information.
Pete
in the midst of
one.
A ridiculous story. It's 7:33. We'll come back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Does that music make you and Dave suddenly snap to attention like you're about to do a newscast?
Yeah, we do.
Are we on?
We're ready.
I saw Rob Feeder yesterday, and I congratulated him on his choice of the most powerful and influential woman in Chicago media.
Yeah, we congratulated him, too. And her.
Yeah.
Saw Jen yesterday.
And we're talking about Jen Lyons. Now, is her official title guru of all news?
Well, guru, that's how we address her.
News guru?
News director, but we call her guru.
Along with raising an army of children, as has been described, she manages all the news at Channel 9. Mm-hmm.
And one of the nicest people, too.
She is tremendous. And we're talking about the morning news. Mm-hmm. So you got 6 hours there.
Yeah,
that's 4 till 10.
Midday,
and then midday, which starts at what time?
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock goes to 12 or 12:30.
To one.
To one.
Because you have 11, and then the 12 o'clock news. Mm-hmm.
And then 4 till 6.
Yes.
And then a little breather for dinner.
No, oh. six o'clock. They have a show.
6 o'clock.
There's a 6 o'clock.
There's a
show.
6 o'clock newscast. Yep.
Yep, I knew that. And then,
and then nine and ten. Yep.
Yep. So Jen hasn't slept in 27 years.
Exactly.
That's right. I don't sleep anymore. I just work.
I know you didn't want to do this, but I did want to publicly congratulate you and acknowledge you because I know how much your staff loves you, and I think it's an honor well-deserved.
Oh, you know what? I love my staff, and I love what I do, and it's a great job to have, so I love it.
Imagine managing all of what we just described. You know how many kids Jen has? She doesn't either.
Yes, she does.
How many? 6 kids?
I have 6 kids, yes. Fortunately, most of them are grown and on their way, and my 12-year-old is the one that keeps me the busiest now. But I have 6 kids.
He's a famous actor. He's going to be more famous than all of us
he
someday.
He does a lot of theater.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, though. Gen X, like the 6 kids don't call. Kids always call their moms. Mom! Mom! I got a question. Yeah, I'm trying to do 48 newscasts.
Exactly right. Where are my socks? I don't know.
All right, so going forward from here, just the business of TV news, are you guys involved in figuring out, you know, how this is all going to evolve over the next 6 months, over the next year? To my mind, you can't think more than 6 months in advance anymore.
Well, the business of TV news is right now and happening and always changing, right? So we're developing and constantly growing and thinking about what's next. I mean, news-wise and technology-wise and being in charge of, you know, the digital operation and what's next with the social media. So, yes, every day it's busy, constantly changing, and we're always on our toes.
And a brand-new 4 o'clock newscast, which I think you made a great choice there with Lourdes and her friends.
Yeah, we love Lourdes.
Yes, Lourdes and her friends. Yes, we've got Lourdes and Ben Bradley. We're glad to have him on WGN now. Jared Payton and Demetrius Ivory. So they're a good new 4 o'clock team, and we launched a 6 o'clock show not too long ago. So anytime you want news, you know where to find it on WGN,
yeah,
right?
No kidding. Absolutely. And I think the only mistake you've made, and I don't know if this hurts your position, of power is giving the Steve Cochran Show the 9 o'clock hour on CLTV. I think that shows some questionable judgment on your part.
That is a fantastic addition to the CLTV lineup.
It is, yeah.
We love having Steve Cochran. Actually, it really is pretty cool to merge the two stations and stream.
That's what we got to do.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's a great project.
And forming the investigative unit, too, with Mark and Lourdes and Ben. It's fantastic. They've done some great stories.
And by the way, Jen, a serious question about that. The investigative unit is powered by tips and leads and stories. I mean, the people on the team and the producers, they always have stories they want to chase, but you never know where the next great lead is going to come from. So if somebody in the public wants to tell you guys, hey, I don't know if this is anything, but it could be something, how do they get a hold of you guys?
They just have to email us or email the newsroom or call the newsroom and give us a tip. We get tips every day, and our investigative producer, Marcia Bartel, she's fantastic. And she you know, culls through all of them and tries to figure out which ones are the stories we need to go on next. And it's pretty amazing. When she comes into my office and she said, I've got a good one, I always say, all right, let's go. So.
Yeah, do you have, like, a meeting where you go through and you go, here are the 10 tips we got today just for the entertainment value?
No, not for the entertainment value. Of course not. But we do actually meet and talk about which tips we want to go on to next. So.
Yeah, but I'm sure the viewers have always, you know, probably a lot of great ideas.
Yes, they do. Yes.
All right. Is there a dedicated tip line or is it just WGN News?
WGN TV info at WGN.com.
Okay. At Tribune.com.
Or at WGNTV.com.
At WGNTV. Got WGNTV info at WGNTV.com.
Right. Yes.
Got it.
And Jen, we can start making eye contact with you again today, right?
Yes. Exactly.
Okay, good, good, good.
I was humbled and honored. Robert Feeder is a great guy, and I've read him for years. And, truthfully, we read him and we watch what he's going to say next. And I was shocked when he dropped that yesterday morning. It was pretty amazing. So,
well, you wield a lot of influence.
Well deserved.
So, and again, as I mentioned at the top of the show today, glad you're using your powers for good and not evil.
Thank you.
Yes. Did you get her a cape?
No, that's today. Shh.
Oh, okay. Stop.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Jen. All the best.
Thank you. All right. Have a good day.
Well, you know you make me want to kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout.
7:55. Let's check it with Mike Jacobson, producer of the program here. He's got 11 weddings he has to go to this summer. How many have you knocked off? Two?
We have done three now, and it's actually 10 weddings.
That's right. You were invited to 11, but you're not going to one.
Invited to 12.
Oh, you're invited to 12.
Yes. One of them was in Germany.
So the two you're not going to, are the people upset because you're going to 10 others?
There's been death threats.
All right. So you had two last weekend, right? Am I right or
mm-hmm.
wrong?
Two.
Okay. And you got one this weekend.
One this weekend in Burlington, Wisconsin.
This is how I know he really loves Audrey.
Mm-hmm.
Because any dude who was told by his girlfriend that they're going to 10 weddings would lose his mind.
Or come up with an excuse about work.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to work. Because you can always blame work.
See, now I've had to take out a loan for all the gifts, which might be a problem.
Well,
see,
the gifts are crazy. One thing, but it's losing your entire summer. Every weekend in the summer is gone.
And hotel rooms, if you got to stay somewhere.
Yeah, have you totaled up how many weekends you actually have free that aren't weddings?
No,
Because it's, let's not kid ourselves. It's a whole day.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
it is.
A whole
yeah,
day.
It is.
You're not doing anything else that day but getting ready for the wedding, going to the wedding, and coming home from the wedding.
Mm-hmm. But, Mary, actually, we're only needing to get two hotel rooms out of the 10. So we've been able to save money that way.
That's good.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Well, what are you staying in? Hostels? Wedding hostels?
On the floor.
Well, fortunately, the ones that are in Wisconsin, they're close enough to her family's lake house that we can stay there. Last weekend, one was in Huntley. So we got to stay at my parents.
Stayed with Orion.
Yeah, stayed with Orion. So stayed at my parents' house, which was close. So we've been finagling. Then the other one last weekend was in Doubters Grove, so we just took the train. So there's ways around. You know, you can save a little bit of money here and there.
Did we do the awkward thing when you're staying at your parents' house? Like, you know, I'm going to sleep on a couch, and you could have my old room, that kind of thing. So are you done?
No, not that
They're
awkward.
Okay with.
He doesn't want to talk about that.
Okay. You know, you have a year to buy gifts, Mike.
Look how Dave got you off that topic.
Yeah, exactly. What is?
Well, Dave's got to, speaking of weddings, Dave's planning a wedding right now. He's got going on himself.
Well, but it's different when it's your daughter. You got to go.
Right. Well, he's cutting a lot more checks than me.
Yeah, that is true. Yes. What's the appropriate wedding gift right now? What do you do, $100?
Actually, what we're doing a lot of times is we're actually buying Let Us Entertain You gift cards.
Fine.
And then we're getting the points from it, too. So we're going to get a free meal out of it at the end.
That's cool. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Have you thought about the human fund? The human fund is good. You just give a gift to the human fund.
$100?
$100 is a wedding gift? Sure.
I think it's more than that.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think so. I think
it's gone up, Steve.
Oh, definitely. If it's a couple going, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? If you know the person or related to them, then it probably is more.
Yes, yes.
But if you go to like a friend's family's kid's wedding, $100 isn't enough?
That always drives me nuts. It's like the her what was her exchange student's sister invited her to a wedding?
But hold on a second. $100 isn't the standard for somebody
that's not. I don't think so.
You think it's more?
It depends it is.
Hold on a second. It's a local wedding.
I'm asking.
Here's the hypothetical. It's a local wedding. It's a friend of mine, and it's their kid. Not a close friend,
right. Mm-hmm.
But it's someone who would invite me to a large wedding.
You know,
how much am I in for?
I, If it's a friend, 50 to 75. And I know that sounds cheap, but it's not your friend. It's a friend of a friend.
It's a friend's kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That won't even pay for the meal.
That sounds like 100 bucks.
But
to
that's
me.
Why they invite you half the time.
Well, how much do you think you should do, Vanderbilt?
You know, it depends. Everything depends.
On what? What are the parameters?
On the place you're going, the person, who
see,
it is.
See, I don't judge it by just because you want to get married at the Hyatt and have, you know, this high-end meal, and maybe why don't you do it in, you know, your backyard?
Well, I always look at it. If I have to pay for a hotel and all that other stuff, I don't give them as much. I mean, sometimes, unless it's a family member.
And we had a niece and a nephew both get married last summer, and I think we only gave them a dollar.
No.
I think it was they were like $250 or something.
You got to figure too. Mike and Audrey are young. They're not making as much as say like they're not making say Dave Bennett money.
Oh, you have no idea what I'm paying Mike. Mike is overpaid.
So somebody just texted in $500 if it's a relative. Come on!
Oh my God,
that's crazy.
Who has $500? Some people for a gift.
Is Bill Gates' niece or something?
Even if you have it, doesn't mean that it's smart to give it.
There's no way. Then don't invite.
And you know what? It's so funny because both my kids got married within the last 4 years,
right?
And every amount was such a different amount depending on the person. I mean, some people would give like this crazy amount, and then somebody else would give like $70, a weird amount, like $60.
Yeah, but there's always...
But that's all they can afford.
Like I completely understand, so I don't care. I think you give what you can.
I had Uncle Hank. I've talked about Uncle Hank before. Uncle Hank was mean and crazy, mm-hmm. but Uncle Hank had a lot of money. He never spent a dime. Mm-hmm. Uncle Hank was a guy who would go, hey, gas is 10 cents cheaper in Ohio, yeah, right. And he'd drive from upstate New York to Ohio to get the gas.
Yeah.
And he, when he passed, he had a decent chunk of money, but it was, I think it was when we got married. I don't know, but a couple times at weddings, everybody would go, what Uncle Hank mm-hmm. do? Because he'd literally give you like a McDonald's hamburger coupon or something.
Right.
You know, he was a cheap guy. So when you go through the wedding gift stash, there's stories to tell as well.
Right.
You know, you go, oh, yeah, Uncle Hank.
Right.
Uncle Hank came through.
And
look
don't
at Uncle Hank.
And don't even start me on if you don't go to the wedding, how much you have to give. Because that's crazy, too.
Well, I don't think that changes. If you don't go to the wedding, you're invited. I think you got to give what you give.
Well, it's up to you, because people take into account, like, oh, you pay for your meal and stuff. So,
but how much, you never know how much the meal is. That's what I'm so confused about. Everybody
but why
says,
does
pay
the
for
meal
your meal.
Matter?
How do you even know how much the meal is?
No, I don't think the meal matters
because
at all.
You're not deciding what the meal is.
You have no idea. They could have got a deal on it. They, you know, who knows?
But yeah. if the standard is, let's say, $75 a plate and it's a buffet, that's not $75 a plate for a buffet.
Yeah, family style, not a buffet.
You know what it should be? Whatever you want to give for that person.
Is that really the thing? I've never heard of that.
I think it's ridiculous.
It drives me. That is one of the hardest things to decide before you go to wedding.
Oh,
how much should I write the check for?
I think people should just stop getting married.
We argue about
it
all the
just...
time. We argue.
All right.
You know, it's like,
I always demand mine back if they get divorced within a year or two.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're the wedding rescinder?
I rescind my gift.
Right. I want my gift back. That's all right, we've got to take a break. Come back. Dean's coming up on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Dean Richards joins us now. We're getting a big wedding fight in the studio.
What?
So let's get through the entertainment news here and let's get on to what matters.
Wedding fight?
Yeah, we're going to have a big wedding fight. We're going to talk about stuff. Right. Like, for instance, Dean, Cash Bar. I've been to weddings where people pay for 3 or 4 hours of boozing. And then, you know, after 10 o'clock or... you know, then maybe it's a cash bar. Part of the reason is strategic, because you don't want a bunch of people hanging around at midnight going, "Yeah, God, I look beautiful."
Give me another 7-7.
The 7-7.
Congratulations.
That's funny.
That's my quintessential wedding drink.
That. Yeah.
All right, here we go. American Idol going to ABC. When?
They just confirmed it this morning. For sure, it's been rumored. But it will be moving in the fall.
How's Ryan Seacrest going to be able to work?
Well,
he's hanging around Kelly now.
They have not confirmed who will be the host yet. It is rumored to be R. Seacrest, but I don't know how they're going to do that because Idol is in L.A., or at least it was when it was on Fox for the last 150 years. Maybe they'll move it to New York. But he's going to be in L.A., right? Because he's also has to do his radio show while he's doing Kelly and...
Have any of those decisions been made?
No. Nothing confirmed. The only thing confirmed this morning, it's definitely going to ABC.
And who is the guy that originally did American Idol with Ryan Seacrest and left?
I don't remember.
There was a partner in the first year. He's like the Shelley Long left Cheers, the McLean Stevenson left MASH. He's that guy.
Hmm.
They should give it to him because he lost out on all the American Idol money.
Was he asked to leave, or did he think this isn't going to go anyplace and I got to get out of here before?
I don't remember.
Brian Dunkelman?
That's it. Brian Dunkelman.
I remember that. They said it just didn't work out. They just wanted one.
Yeah, and I don't know why they went with Seacrest, but Brian Dunkelman ends up getting nothing from Idol.
2002, that was.
Wonder what he's doing today.
He's waiting for me to call. He's been on the show a couple times, and he does talk to people.
According to his Wikipedia page, he does stand-up regularly now in
Los Angeles.
That's
right, he is a stand-up.
At the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, for $20 a set. Nice guy. Funny guy. Jimmy Kimmel came back last night. What do you have to say?
We have a little bit of audio. He was giving us an update on his son, who had to have open heart surgery, 3 days old, and had to have heart surgery, but also talked about the criticism that he's received since he made his very emotional plea last week.
1 week ago tonight, I made an emotional speech that was seen by millions, and as a result of my powerful words on that night, Republicans in Congress had second thoughts about repeal and replace. They realized that what is right is right, and I saved health insurance in the United States of America. Thank you.
I didn't save it? They voted against it anyway?
I really need to pay more attention to the news. I have to say, our son Billy is doing very well. He's getting... He's getting bigger. He's sleeping well. He can read now, which they say is unusual for him. And I would like to apologize for saying that children in America should have health care. It was insensitive. It was offensive, and I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me. There are some very sick and sad people out there. Here's one of them. His name is Newt Gingrich. He's the former Speaker of the House.
The problem you have with humor in America today is that Hollywood is so enraged at Donald Trump that they can't be funny. All they've got is pure anger. And that's what's coming out in this stuff.
Newt Gingrich does know a lot about comedy. This is a man, this is the guy who helped lead the impeachment effort against Bill Clinton for trying to cover up his affair while he was having an affair. That's hilarious. Come on.
Jimmy Kimmel, giving it back last night.
Which is good.
Yeah.
And Gingrich deserved it, as did a handful of Republicans. Not very many, but a handful of clueless, insensitive, jackass Republicans who probably didn't even watch the Kimmel clip, who came out and said he was selfish and how dare he, and he's a front for liberals. No, he's a guy with a sick kid who's blessed enough to be able to pay for that and was talking about it for other families who can't.
Yeah, he called out a couple of other politicians who criticized him. And criticized the whole idea of health care for kids. But he also did a fairly lengthy segment with Senator Bill Cassidy from Louisiana, who has come up with some pretty good common sense kind of proposals. And he spoke at length with him. It's all on Jimmy Kimmel's website. You can take a look at it.
On the Donald Trump news barometer, Antonio Sabato
Jr.
Junior.
He was Calvin Klein underwear model, same time you
me
were.
Too. Yeah,
if,
me too.
Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah.
It was a little awkward backstage when Steve, you want to go back and put these boxer briefs on?
Well, eventually you go from model to coaching. So I transitioned and I showed him how to wear them.
And butt double. You've done a lot of butt double.
Oh, it's a big butt double. Yeah,
Steve is still a big butt double.
So Antonio Sabato Jr., big Trump supporter.
He's going to run for Congress. He's decided he's going to run, I think it's the 26th district in California.
How's Scott Baio feel about it?
I'm sure he's going to come out and support him. Full-fledged. He's a big Trump supporter, spoke at the convention, famously calling former President Obama a Muslim, which he is, which he is not.
Richard Simmons suing?
Suing the National Enquirer.
Is he suing to the oldies?
Radar Online. How great would that be if he went into the court? All right, judge. One, two,
one, two, three.
Yeah. Juror number three. Up, down, up, down. he's suing because the Inquirer and Radar Online, owned by the same company, did stories saying that Richard is transitioning to a woman. Richard says that is untrue. He's also suing a former assistant who he alleges, Richard alleges, sold stories to the Inquirer and then went back to Richard and said, I'll recant the story if you pay up.
By the way, the National Enquirer, owned by a friend of the president, and the National Enquirer and this Alex Jones InfoWars are two of the places the president always gets his news, and he calls CNN fake news. Ladies and gentlemen, the president.
I hate that term.
Wonder Woman premiere. You going to L.A.?
I'm not, but you can.
I can?
You can win a trip. Actually, I think I will be going to it, as a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
Not for fun, like no. You can go. Trip for two to the Wonder Woman premiere in Los Angeles. It's May 25th. And all you have to do to enter the contest is go to WGNTV.com/contest. This is a contest that we're doing on TV, but why not let the radio people also get in on this? Our lovely radio listeners.
I thought you meant staff.
Huge audience.
God, I can't wait for this premiere.
Yeah, they specifically said no radio staff invited.
Mm-hmm.
But it's round trip airfare for two nights hotel accommodations and two tickets to the premiere, WGNTV.com/contests. And we'll pick the winner on May the 11th. You have to be 21 or older to enter, so, Andrea, that lets you out.
Oh, and what's the name of the woman that plays Wonder Woman?
Her name is Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot.
Israeli actress.
Beautiful.
Yeah, she's something else. When I met her, I told her, if I was 20 years younger, it'd take you 20 minutes longer to tell me no.
Mm-hmm. What a great choice, though, Dean. Don't you think she's a great Wonder Woman?
Yeah, I do. I do.
8:23, we'll do traffic. We'll come back and solve all these wedding arguments that are going on off the air.
Be calling his name. Oh, Dean Richards.
8:28. Dean Richards was married to Miss Manners for a while. He was Mr. Manners.
Oh, I took her name.
Yep, that's why you were Mr. Manners. All right, so how much do you spend on a wedding gift, Dean?
Depends on my relationship to the person. I'd say a couple of hundred.
See?
Texter says, $100 is average for a wedding. $200 if it's a wedding in Chicago. A very close friend, $300 to $500. Another texter from the 773 says $200. We still do have people saying you got to cover the meal. I've literally never heard that.
I think that's ridiculous because why? Because you decide to have it at the Drake with steak and lobster. Why do I have to give $500 for my friend's best friend's
sister's cousin?
I was
at a wedding at Popeyes. Had to cover the meal. Who's going to drop that for a combo? $10, $12.
That's crazy.
Yes, Amber.
That's a dated reference. And these people that are saying $100, I just want to say, what were you giving 30 years ago? Probably $100.
No. $4. It was $4.
I bet people were giving like $50.
Because I can remember my parents going to weddings when I was like in the 10 range and giving $100 or $150, and we did not have money. So it's not,
Parents are obviously covering up some illegal activity at that point.
So if you were giving that back then, it should go up.
If they can't afford to pay for the extravagant meal, they should keep the guest list small and something they can afford. You don't have to pay for your dinner.
There you go.
I don't know a single bride and groom who doesn't enjoy one of those expando garden hoses that you see.
Oh, you like the scene on TV store.
That's
hey, what about this? What if you registered at Amazon? Like all of Amazon. Anything off Amazon?
Well, I gave an Amazon gift card as a gift.
That's
and
a great
it was,
gift.
It was on their
and I
registry.
Bet it was well received.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great gift.
When someone invites you to a wedding, they do so because they want you to share in their special day, not because they expect a large gift.
Oh, please. Bull.
What world are you living
then,
in?
Then stop having your friends. Sisters,
when you're a young
uncle,
girl, like
you.
When you're 27 and getting married, and your parents' friends are coming, you are definitely expecting a large gift.
Totally.
Those aren't because you want your dad's
and
best friend to share in your day. You
and
want
that's
the
why
cash.
Because brides exactly. and grooms are weasels.
Yeah.
Yes, we know that.
Yep. True that.
It's a racket.
It's a total racket. That's how they get you.
Elope.
That's
elope. Yeah.
And my father would put the kibosh on it. By the way, how much is a kibosh?
$15.99.
I'm thinking you get that off Amazon as well. All right, Dean, here's the other question. Cash bar or open bar all night?
I say I like the 80-20 split.
Yeah.
I think at some point you got to go cash bar together because it's otherwise.
Because otherwise the drunks will stay.
It's it gets out of control.
No, cash bar is rude.
I say open bar because you'd expect to bring cash and things like that to a wedding.
You have to have open bar and then you have to have the second round of food. Like
11. Yeah, the pizza.
Okay,
yeah.
By the way, that new trend is ridiculous.
I kind of agree.
Though. It's fun.
Here's the thing, and this is why people are living together more and more because you know you got to get the sex out of the way early because it's not going to happen on your wedding night because everybody's staying until midnight, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Waiting
for pizza
for Taco
at midnight.
Bell, yeah.
You know, Taco Bell at 1
or White Castles. Yeah.
I was at a wedding a year ago. It was really cool. A wedding downtown here. They had a candy table.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just covered with candy.
You get a bag and you fill it up and you take what you want.
We actually went to a wedding down here at the Hyatt and they had, it was a pre-meal, but they had, it was all fast food. You know, it was mini sliders. So that was before dinner. Popcorn, cotton candy.
Listen, the best way to clear it out is at midnight you bring everybody liver and onion sandwiches.
Oh,
everybody
gross.
Just bring them out and everybody has
no.
to leave. Dave, your daughter's getting married. What are you having at midnight?
Actually, it ends at midnight.
Get out!
That's what you think, Dave.
It's over.
Did they flash the lights?
No,
that's
what
they did. The light switch.
That's what they told Dave.
They turn the lights on and off like in a theater. Time to go.
See, that's what I think. You get an open bar, you close it down at midnight. If you want to keep drinking, then you can head to the hotel and you should be already stocked up anyway. I mean, what is this, amateur hour? So you cut it off at midnight, but you don't do cash bar.
We won't have a cash bar.
Well, Dave, you're classy. That's why.
Class act.
It's not about being classy. It's about being sensible and forcing the drunks to leave.
Is it bad, then, that my suggestion of putting vending machines in the back of the ballroom?
Oh. A vending machine reception.
Is that bad?
Everybody gets tokens.
Yeah, no, you bring your own tokens.
Yeah.
Set up skee ball in
there? No, it's a vending machine reception, and everybody gets quarters. You come in, you give them quarters to go to the vending machine.
I don't
machine.
Like change.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. Mm. All right, so we've determined nothing here, Dean, but I thank you for your contribution.
It was fascinating.
Yep.
And we had Jen Lyons on last hour. You can look her in the eye now, according to her exchange with Andrea.
Mm, yes. Speak for yourself.
The most powerful woman in show business.
He asked if we bought her a cape yet, Dean, and I said, shh, that's today.
She should have a cape and a mask.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that's the real Wonder Woman. Thanks, buddy. 8:33, back with the big story next on 720 WGN. Well, I've been in a fight with the PGA Tour for a while. That's why I don't play professionally and the fact that I suck. But the tour not having a regular Chicago stop anymore is ridiculous. We'll get the BMW this year, but the BMW rightfully rotates amongst many great courses. And it just drives me nuts. It's not a regular tour stop here. So that's why I was glad to hear that Web.com is going to be playing Ivanhoe.
Yeah, beautiful course.
Love Ivanhoe. And joining us now on the phone is a Chicago golfer of note, young Vince India. And Vince, how you been, man?
Good. How have you been, Steve?
Doing fine. Pride of Deerfield. Where'd you grow up? What course did you play on?
Deerfield Golf Club, mostly the public course just to the west of the interstate right there.
When did you realize you were good?
It took a while, but I knew I could probably play college golf junior, senior year of high school. Got a few letters from and calls from coaches. And I didn't really know I could play professional golf until my junior or senior year of college.
Is that right? So how'd you decide to go to Iowa?
Well, it was kind of a last-minute decision because most golfers sign in the fall signing period.
Yep.
And there was a mishap and some miscommunication between Michigan State coach and the Notre Dame coach, and they both kind of figured that they were recruiting me at the same time, so they backed off, and they were my only two options at the time, so I ended up signing with Iowa, who came out of nowhere in the springtime, because at that point, you just want to play for a team.
Yeah, good for you for having the option. And
yeah,
so. Big Ten Player of the Year in 2011, and working to get to the big show. But in the meantime, out there on the web.com tour, and you were out at Ivanhoe yesterday promoting this event. So let's talk about the event for a second. This is the Rust-Oleum event, right?
Yes, the Rust-Oleum Championship.
Okay, and I assume you've played Ivanhoe through the years a handful of times.
Yeah, well, actually not until last year.
Oh, is that right?
It was first held there, yeah. I never played it when I was growing up. It's quite far north, so never got out to play it before last year.
Yeah, and it's a tough track. It's but I've driven, you know, it's far north. I live in a double wide East St. Louis. I've driven to play it. It's a tough track. Got some very creative holes. Mm-hmm. And am I right? There's 27 holes, isn't there?
Yeah, there's 27 holes, and we are playing the original 18.
Okay, so good.
They built the first 18 and added on nine more and kind of mixed and matched to create 27 holes. But we're playing a combination of all 27 holes.
I see. Okay, so they're going to design it specifically for the tournament. Yeah. When is it happening, Andrea? Do you have the details in front of you?
Yeah, I don't have it.
All right, we'll look that up for you.
June 5th.
Oh, it's June 5th. June 5th.
Yeah, the week of June 5th.
Vince, we're not used to having athletes on the show know what they're talking about. all right, so Vince, didn't you play in South America for a while?
Yeah, I was my first full year on like a major tour was the PGA Tour Latino America in 2013. So I played pretty much a full schedule down there in 2013. Had my web.com card for the last 3 years, so every now and then when I wasn't busy, I'd go back down to South America and play if I had a week off.
You fluent in Spanish?
It's getting better. Like I remember learning Spanish in high school and then traveling down there, and I have a buddy from Miami who's half Cuban, so he's fluent, and then hanging out with him and then just interacting with people down there, my Spanish has gotten a lot better.
You know how to curse in Spanish when you hit a bad shot?
Absolutely. It's the best
part. Okay, that part you got down. What's the wackiest thing that happened to you playing golf in South America?
Okay, this is a pretty good one. You have time for like a little short story here?
Yeah, go ahead.
So this will kind of sum up why golf is a little bit ridiculous in general, but we're in Colombia a couple years ago, and we all hit our drives down this par five, and one of the kids in our group is deathly allergic to bees.
Okay.
And a bee lands on his golf ball in the fairway, and at this point we're already well behind the group in front of us, and we're trying to get this bee off his golf ball. The thing won't move. We're blowing on it. We're kind of putting our shadows over it, waving our hands at it. The thing looks like it's cemented to the golf ball.
And for people who don't understand, you can't pick the golf ball up. You can't whack it. You got to leave it alone.
Yeah, especially the player whose golf ball it is. If he touches the golf ball and it moves, then that's a penalty. And
right.
All of a sudden, it's a fiasco. So what seems after like an eternity trying to get this bee off, I decided to start, you know, flicking at it, and I missed it the first time. And then the second time, I kind of grazed the golf ball and hit the bee at the same time, and it kind of oscillates, you know. So we kind of all look at each other, and I go, okay, well, here we go. And then one of our playing partners goes, oh, well, hold on here a second. And I kind of replied, well, the ball clearly oscillated. It didn't move. It wasn't my golf ball. This is like a no-brainer situation.
Maintained its position, no penalty, hit your shot, let's go.
Yeah, we get on with it. It's like common sense at this point. And then the two other guys decided to call in the rules official, and then he drives over from like four fairways over. That's another 5 minutes.
Oh my God.
And then he goes, well, why would you do that? And I go, Slater, John Slater, the official at the time, we're like 3.5 holes behind. I figure we just might as well get on with it. I don't understand how in the world this is a penalty. And he didn't know the rules, so he goes, all right, guys, well, you're down on the clock, obviously, so I'll make a call to the USGA and see if this was actually a penalty. So he made an international call to the USGA after
oh
the round.
God. For a bee.
And he's like, Vince, you know what? That wasn't a penalty, it turns out, but next time I think we better not, you know, start flicking golf balls when you don't know what the outcome is.
That's exactly right, Vince. I hope you've learned something. Don't be flicking bees.
Did you get
I love the fact you had a rules official that didn't know the rules.
Yeah. Did you get a penalty for delay of game?
No, but so when you get put on the clock, you have to start speeding up, obviously, and try to catch your other group. So I saw it coming, and I tried to avoid it, and then all of a sudden it happened.
And then the problem is when you're on the clock, it's not just you, it's everybody else
in
the group.
Behind you, too.
And if you're playing with a four, it's ridiculous because you got to try to speed three other people up as well.
Yeah, it's
nerve-wracking.
It was hysterical.
Hey, what's the biggest difference between the U.S. courses and the Latin American courses?
The drug cartels.
No, not the drugs.
Oh.
Absolutely. And well, besides that, we'll get into that another time maybe, but the irrigation and the grasses on there are a little bit different. Some of the golf courses we play are hand-watered, so there's firm spots, there's soft spots on the golf courses.
And, hand-watered, like a dude with a hose.
Yeah, like the course in Colombia is a beautiful little parkland style with massive trees, but they have no modern technology that we have out here, where, you know, the sprinklers pop up and you can water three holes at a time. Like, some guy goes down and squirts water wherever he sees fits.
Wow.
You can get some really lucky bounces and really unlucky bounces. Like, there's firm spots in the fairways where it's all browned out because they haven't watered it. And if your ball hits there off the tee shot, it'll
like
take
concrete.
It. Yeah, like a 20-foot bounce in the air like a trampoline, and you'll have, you know, 50 less yards in the hole. So a lot of things like that.
Vince India, Pride of Deerfield again. He'll be playing in the Rust-Oleum at Ivanhoe June 5th. I'd love to get great galleries out there and support the web.com tour. You can go to web.com and see all the information you need there. Is there another website you want to send them to, Vince?
You go to the PGAtour.com. That's probably the best way to do it. And
okay.
That'll direct you to probably a website for the Rust-Oleum Championship. So.
Yeah, you can look it up that way. Last question, Dave.
Mm-hmm. I just wonder, Vince, if there's a high school player listening who is hearing you and talking about a pro career in golf and thinking, wow, boy, that'd be great to play college golf and be great to take a shot at being a professional. What words of advice would you have for him or her?
The thing that I learned throughout the years is that you can't take it too seriously. And at the end of the day, golf isn't going to define who you are as a person or the way people view you. It's a way to kind of get away from things. And the moment I started taking things too seriously, that's usually when my golf results go down the drain. So reminder, just always have fun and never take golf too seriously, because it's one of those mind-rattling games, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Vince India, professional golfer and bee wrangler.
Yes.
That's who he is. Thanks, buddy. You got a social media site for yourself you want to throw out?
I do, yeah. My Twitter handle is vindia36, and if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's vindia2.
All right, all the best. It's Vince India. It's a great name, isn't it? I mean,
it's a
honestly.
Fantastic name. Mm-hmm. Although, if I saw a bee, I'd run.
That's the right answer.
Well, I've seen you do that.
Michelle, I know, I have run from bees.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Nine ten, adorned in pink. It's our friend Bonnie Gordon, executive director of Coleman Chicago. How are you?
Great, thank you.
I just made your day. I gave you the weather forecast for Sunday.
That's right.
Sunny and 70.
Can't wait. We've got a big race, our 20th anniversary Komen Mother's Day Race for the Cure, presented by Presence Health, and it's our 20th anniversary. We are so excited.
All right, so if people still want to get involved, what do they do?
It's really simple, and it's really important you do it today, because you go to KomenChicago.org/race, and you register, and today, until midnight, if you put in 20 years, you get 20% off the registration fee.
Hey, cool.
That's nice.
What a great walk, too. Komen, Linsage, I mean, one of the longest running walks for breast cancer awareness. What do you attribute the longevity to?
You know, it's really about so many people really have been touched by breast cancer, and this is so important because we have disparities in Chicago. Over 1,000 men and women will lose their lives from breast cancer in our city every single year.
And is that right?
Absolutely.
These numbers are still so high. They're too high still, you know?
Explain to everybody who Susan Komen was.
So actually, it's a local story, because Susie Komen was from Peoria.
Right.
And her sister, Nancy Brinker, who founded Komen, really said, I'm going to make a promise to my sister that no one should face this alone. And really, it is where you live shouldn't determine if you live. And in Chicago, we have a huge disparities issue, that an African-American woman has a 40% greater chance of dying of breast cancer than a white woman.
Why
right
is
here
it?
In Chicago. Really, it's a lot of reasons. One, it's a more virulent type of breast cancer. Two, it's that it's found later. And three, it's all about taking action. You got to find it early, and then it really is much easier to treat.
Don't ignore the symptoms.
No, it's true. I heard a stat one time, I think we had it on the show, that everybody knows someone affected by breast cancer, not once removed, not 6 degrees of. It's my mother or my aunt or my cousin. It's somebody within the family. But are those numbers, I know the number you just said is high, and in any mortality rate is too high, but are they getting better?
it really is. It used to be 60% chance, greater chance of a black woman dying of breast cancer in Chicago. Now it's 40% greater chance. But I'll tell you, our big, bold goal, and that's what this race is all about, is we're trying to reduce the breast cancer deaths in the U.S. by 50% by 2026. And that's what it's all about. And we are so thankful to folks like Presence Health, who's a big sponsor of ours. We're so grateful. Come on out. Do some amazing things, especially we've got an amazing man with
us. This young
right
man,
now.
We're going to meet him in just a second and have him talk about his family and his commitment. Let's do this, though. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and you're going to meet somebody that we think is pretty special who's blowing off finals for the show. We appreciate that. It's 9:13. Back with more in a moment on 720 WGN. 9:17, we basically canceled the rest of the hour when we found out Anthony was going to come in. Not that Bonnie's not special, but we love Anthony's story. Anthony Braglia, yeah? Am I pronouncing it right?
Braglia, yes.
Braglia. I don't think it's Braglia. It's a good Italian kid, man.
Of course.
Yeah. And you're at Illinois State. You're a sophomore. What are you studying?
Marketing.
What are you going to do with that? Any idea?
Professional sales is my sequence, but I have no idea what I want to do after.
What do you want to sell? We know a lot of people. We can get you a gig.
That'd be amazing. Maybe I could sell more Susan G. Komen awareness type stuff.
Yeah. Well, you've done pretty well so far. I'm very sorry for your loss. When did you lose your mom?
It was my junior year in high school. I was 16 years old. So it was 2013, October 2nd.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's definitely been one of the harder climbs I've ever had in my life, I'd have to say.
Without a doubt. You have brothers and sisters?
Younger sister. My sister Mia is 17, currently a student at St. Charles North High School.
So you had to be the big brother and man up for her too, I'm sure.
Of course. I think it was hardest on her because she lost, you know, her woman figure, her role model. I mean, a lot of people have stepped up in my life, like aunts, uncles, family, friends, to not fill that void because no one could ever
How
fill
long
that
was she
void.
Sick?
I would say about 3-4 years.
Okay, so she probably found it, you know, and fought it and did everything she could.
Yeah, a couple times remission, kept metastasizing, but, you know, she fought long and hard.
So you found out, you know, and got a medical education on something you never wish you even knew about, I'm sure.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, and your sister is obviously going to spend her life taking care of herself and making sure there's not a hereditary link there, which
of
I know
course.
Is a concern. But tell everybody what you do. Brag. I know you're not going to be good at this, but brag a little bit about yourself. What'd you do in your mom's memory?
So one of my teachers just put something on a board where she wanted to research a website, and one of them was Susan G. Komen. So I went to it, and I started thinking about the times in 2010 when I participated in the race. So I decided right there in class to sign up, started fundraising, local community, stuff like that. And then it actually wasn't me. I can't credit myself. I'd have to credit more of my fraternity, Sigma Nu Theta Rho. They decided to surprise me with a tweet that said for every retweet this tweet received, they would donate $1. My roommate, best friend, Austin Adams, is our treasurer. He's the one who surprised us, and it blew up.
You'd figure a bunch of college boys, they got $4. What'd you end up getting?
It came to 3,600 retweets, but the tweet reached, viewers, 300,000. So that was a really big step for awareness on our campus, as well as it reached all the way to the intern's office up here in Chicago, so I thought that was pretty a far stretch for...
Do you even know what the current number is?
Current number, it's probably the same because it's died out, but 300,000 is about right.
That's dollars.
That's insane. I know.
Yeah, that's dollars. That's not 300,000 people, that's $300,000.
Think how many retweets that is. What a great idea, you know, and how great are your fraternity to use social media for such a fantastic cause. Did you think it would even be that high?
Not at all. I remember going to bed and it was 1,000. I couldn't believe it gotten that high. And by the time I'd woken up, it was 2,500. And I just was like...
And it just grew and grew and grew.
Absolutely, I was in shock.
Was there anybody in that linkage, that chain, that kind of kicked it to the next level?
Our alumni base, one of our alumni relations chairman, Kyle Deal, actually started going around to local businesses. He has an alumni chain email, so he sent it out to more people.
$300,000.
$3,600 for the 3,600 retweets, but it reached the awareness.
The reach to 300,000 people for awareness. Got it. And for Susan G. Komen, 300,000 more people aware means what?
Oh, it's just huge. It's telling people not only just pink is great, but take action. Find it early.
Yeah, it's more than just wearing a pink shirt or something cute on you that's pink. You gotta step up, right?
It really is. This walk is really much more about a 5K. It's about helping others survive because 75% of the net proceeds stay right here in Chicago, and then 25% goes to research. So it's about today. helping people today and helping people tomorrow. We can't forget about that.
And did you see, I mean, from the start of the walk, from its inception, it was just people walking. Now there's teams, and now families march together. You see grandmothers, mothers, daughters.
Absolutely. Like Anthony, unfortunately, we're in a club together. I lost my mother in 1993, and we've done this since my kids were little. It makes a really tough day better. And that's what it's all about. So you have people in memory of, in honor of, and it's a great way to start. You're done before brunch, right?
Yeah, and the thing that touches me about 300,000 impressions is there's a lot of people who know the name, they see the signs, but they don't make the connection. If you have those impressions, that turns over a large amount of people that wouldn't know about the cause. Absolutely. So it pays off in ways you'll never know. So you ought to be proud of yourself.
Thank you.
And I have to tell you, Anthony is a More Than Pink hero. Since our 20th anniversary, we have 20 More Than Pink heroes. He is one of those because he has stepped up. He is really amazing, and he's do this. His mother is smiling down on him, saying, thank you so much for helping those.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. No doubt at all. Who's the first person you called when you realized the thing was blowing up online?
The person who started it, Austin Adams and Cole Douglas, but then I called my father, and he started calling all my buddies directly and was thanking them. My whole family was ecstatic, like my extended family. So,
well, I'm a real rock. You know, I'll cry at a commercial, so I'm tearing up just hearing about it here. What an emotional thing for your family.
Oh, absolutely. Like Easter, coming home for family dinners and such. Like, that was the talk for quite some time and still is.
How's your dad doing?
He's good. Yeah.
And your sister?
Good, yeah. It's unfortunately becomes the new normal, but yeah. It's been, you know, almost 4 years now since my mother passed, but obviously still thinking about her daily, going
sure.
to see her, bringing her flowers.
Yeah, it's never the same, but it does. You know, that time heals thing is nonsense and true, because it's a day-to-day thing. Some days it'll hit you out of nowhere, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy, too, the support staff, too? I mean, friends that you hadn't seen in a long time, family members, and then they'll stick with you, and now they'll be with you, always.
Absolutely. I mean, I have to credit my girlfriend, Alyssa, behind me. She lost
her
mother.
By the way, very beautiful, yeah, very nice.
And, so sweet.
And, Anthony, you're a great kid, but you appear to be over your skis on this one.
Absolutely.
And don't blow this.
Yeah, she actually lost her mother as well to brain cancer. That's how we met.
Good God, so. I'm sorry. So you met through this.
Yeah, so it was actually amazing, though, because I can talk to someone who's experienced the same thing. And, you know, Bonnie's a survivor herself, so it's amazing. I could talk to people, especially through this, Susan G. Komen, who have gone through the exact same thing I have.
Well, it's got
to
help.
Absolutely. It's a support system beyond belief.
Sure. What do you want people to know, about women in particular, to know? Because I know that you guys, your team, women, are the worst at taking care of yourselves because you're worried about taking care of everybody else. What do women need to be doing to take this seriously?
Well, it's really put your oxygen mask on first. You've got to take care of yourself. Get checked. Early detection saves lives. And it really is, if something isn't right, know your body and take action. And then comeinchicago.org/race. We're going to have a great time on Sunday. It's amazing. It's in Montrose Harbor. It's a brand new location. And it really is about saving lives in Chicago.
The self-check thing that we always encourage women to do, is there a way to medically describe what would feel different? Because, you know, you have bumps and lumps and things that might be nothing, but you let the doctor determine if it's nothing, I guess, right?
Absolutely. So see your physician if something isn't right. Women know what normal is. And if something doesn't feel the same, get it checked out.
And even if you notice something, you know, that you think, oh, it's minor, it's a little fatty tissue or something like that, go for your baseline at 35. I know they say 40 every other year, but I would say 40 every year, and don't blow it off.
Yeah, and listen, your friends love you and your friends are great, but the friends you don't want to listen to are the ones that says, I'm sure you're fine. Go to the doctor.
Absolutely. You and your physician take care of you and encourage others, your mother, your sister, your aunt, everyone. We're all in this together.
We're going to see if we can figure out a way for Anthony not to fail out of Illinois State because he blew off school today.
You can make a call. You know people.
So we'll make a call, but we'll talk more about that in a second. Is Alyssa blown off finals as well?
We'll make it back in time.
Okay. So you think. 925. I've never written a note. You know, I know a lot of people at Illinois State, but I got
to
write a note for them.
You have
Please excuse Anthony and Alyssa from finals.
Let's call Coach Spack.
Yes,
we're
exactly.
buddies with Coach Spack.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. You guys each make a call to help him out. I'm sure, help both of them out.
I'm sure a note from me would sign Steve Cochran. Why you got a note from that guy?
Maybe you shouldn't write the note.
Yeah, yeah. 926, more coming up on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Bonnie Gordon's here, Executive Director of Komen Chicago. There's events for the Susan G. Komen Foundation all year long, but a big one coming up on Sunday. We'll remind you how you can get involved again in a second. Also, Anthony Braglia honoring his mom by making the trip here from ISU this morning, turning around and going back with a final. And we also met Anthony's far superior girlfriend, Alyssa, as well a few moments ago. But anyway, thanks to everybody who contributes to Komen, not just this weekend, but year-round, right, Bonnie?
Absolutely. You know, the 75% that stays right here, the funding, it funds real-time breast health services. We have given over $17 million, $17.4 million since 1997. And in terms of research, over $5 million have been invested in research from the Chicago affiliate. So KomenChicago.org/race, walk or run with us. And we also have a pink powder path. Who wouldn't love
a pink powder path?
Pink, you got to say that 12 times.
A pink powder path.
Pink powder path.
What is a pink powder path?
So you get some pink powder on you. You get all pink if you choose to.
It'd be a hot look for me, don't you think?
I actually think you'd be amazing.
It would be strong, yeah. Yeah. You get pink powder on you and you go down the path?
Yes. And then, you know, look, the rest of the day, everybody knows
you're sure this is happening? You didn't dream this, did you?
I dream a lot, but this is not one.
This is part of the event.
It's like you glow pink. It's like a pink hue.
Yeah, well, exactly. Believe me. Yeah, please.
Well, I know, right? You know.
Anthony, considering what you went through at the age of 16, I know there's kids that, you know, could be listening now, or family members listening, kids going through a struggle like this. And, you know, maybe moms and sisters and stuff, or as a matter of fact, maybe I know who are going through it and dealing with the treatment. We pray for all of you. We hope you're getting the best medical care possible. But in the meantime, for kids that want to do something for their mom, for their sister, for their aunt, for whoever, what do you say to them?
Almost use it as ammunition. You know, Bonnie and I were talking. You can use it as motivation and get out there and change the experience for people down the road. I was quoted saying, like, you know, what I do today could possibly stop a kid 5, 10, maybe even 2 years from now from going through the exact same thing. You're going to make it through to any kid who's in the struggle or is, you know, his mom's in the late stages, father, whoever's, you know, dealing with breast cancer, cancer in general. You know, you'll make it. You know, you'll make it through. You just have to use your support system and also be a support system for others because you're going to be well-versed in these stages and, you know, how it goes. So then, therefore, when someone else comes to you and says, like, I'm in the same situation, you'll be able to say, here, like, here's what I do. Here's what you can do. Here's what works.
And did you find that getting involved with Komen and the other things you've done, you know, has really helped you?
Absolutely. It puts a smile on my face every day, whether, you know, Jenny or Julie or Bonnie calls me and they just have something new or a new.
You got a lot of hugs going on, dude. Every woman in the place is running over to hug you. Except for Alyssa.
It's because of everything great he's done.
Everybody but Alyssa. Yeah. So it could be a long car ride.
She's got a final at one.
Yeah. I couldn't be more impressed with you.
Thank you.
And I agree with what Bonnie said. Your mom's not only smiling, she's hugging you too. So I'm proud of you for being here and everything that you've done so far for Komen. So one more time to sign up for Komen, what do you do?
KomenChicago.org/race. Do it today. 20% off. 20 years is the code. Today, do it. We got a gorgeous day on Sunday.
And just because you guys hung out long enough, we're going to give you something to keep you awake on the way back for your final. Mary Vandeveld Portillo's chocolate cake. She's going to cut into it now, and we'll give you some cake for the road.
Thank you.
Yeah, and by the way, this is the other thing I'm going to give you. College kid, he parked. Give him 20
right.
bucks to pay for his
All
parking.
Right. Everyone, give him 20 bucks.
Give him the $20.
No, that's no, not
20
me.
Bucks. You could cover it.
How about you guys donate that to Komen? I think that'd be better.
God.
You can find my team.
How about we all pitch in 20 bucks?
That's unbelievable. For, no, give it to him. Tell him to give it to the $20.
Right. We'll also donate.
Give it
we
to
promise.
Him.
So, we promise. Know.
It's unbelievable. That's
just for parking.
I'll put that in the donation.
And you've made it tougher for the other humans. Yeah, you've raised
you
the bar,
take
buddy.
Your girlfriend for a cup of coffee
that's
with
unbelievable.
That.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Right?
For a
good
Starbucks.
Man. Today's prices, good lord.
Yeah, you're in downtown Chicago. That's going to pay for your first 4 minutes of parking.
Right. That's true.
All right, we'll come back. 947 on 720 WGN.
Oh, happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
900 shows.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. For a cheerful toast and
salad. For those of you who weren't listening earlier, I want to thank Mayor Emanuel for the parade. That was crazy.
Well, no. It got canceled because of the rain, but it's going to be.
But it would have been something else if it had actually happened.
Yeah.
When do we get to show 1,000? We actually have a celebration. We should probably start planning that now.
Like how many months would that be? Figure out the math.
It's 20 a month, so that's 5 months.
I don't think any of us are great at math.
20 shows a month. You were having cake down here, Steve.
Wait, where?
It's gone. Come on down, Steve.
It's gone, and it was awesome, Steve.
Yeah, it was really good.
No, you got to save some for Steve. All right, so we're getting demands for your recipe for Portillo's chocolate cake, the Vandeveld version. Give me the recipe.
Right now, off the top of my head?
Off the top of your head.
Okay, I just made it yesterday. Let me see if I can remember. Okay, so you have to have Betty Crocker Devil's Food package.
Devil's
That's
Food.
That's it. Devil's Food.
Got it.
So you mix that with, one cup of cold water. It has to be cold water. Three eggs. Mm-hmm.
Three eggs are crucial.
Three eggs. No, what's crucial is the mayonnaise.
Three eggs.
One cup of mayonnaise. Mayonnaise. Really?
That's the secret ingredient.
You can use light mayonnaise, but I don't know.
No,
I go with the real
stuff.
Mayonnaise.
Miracle Whip.
It's going to be fattening my
mayonnaise.
Go with it.
Mayonnaise.
It's so funny.
No whip, Miracle Whip. No.
It has to be helmet or just regular mayonnaise.
Okay, so that's it. You put that all in a mixer. You have to do 30 seconds on medium mix, and then whip it for 4 minutes on medium for 4 minutes.
All right, so combine all the ingredients.
Wait, what about the frosting?
I'll get to that.
Okay.
30 seconds on medium?
30 seconds on medium, 4 minutes on medium as well. And the mixer. And that's it.
Why don't you just go 4.5 minutes on medium?
Okay, you can. I might. I probably did.
Don't upset her.
I think that's why it's very soft today. It's extremely soft.
It's
anyway,
very moist.
Then you put it in the oven 350 for, 25 minutes, whatever. And two round cake pans, put them on top of each other. Well, you frost the middle first, so you put one down, frost that one. Oh, and the frosting?
Yeah.
It's just Betty Crocker milk, or not milk chocolate, I'm sorry, Betty Crocker chocolate frosting.
That's it?
And then you add frost the cake and you're done.
I'm telling you, there's
that's
something
great.
About this cake that's so
it's
moist
the mayonnaise.
And so
you know
delicious.
What it is? Well,
I don't even like mayonnaise.
And another clue,
great.
Never refrigerate it. It cannot be refrigerated.
Right?
No. Can't do
it. How about that?
But if it's got mayonnaise in it, shouldn't you refrigerate it?
They say no, because you baked it.
It's already cooked. Yeah.
So you're good.
It's all moist.
You're good. Killed all the bad
stuff. Did you guys have the Portillo's chocolate
real
cake?
Mayonnaise. Right, Wendy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good.
Yes.
You're not one of your sugar-free zones, are you there, Tiger?
It just ended on May the 5th.
Okay.
Now I can have as much sugar as
Is
I want. I'm going to eat a whole cake.
Here you go. How long did you do no sugar for?
5 weeks.
Wow.
5 weeks.
Why?
From April 1st to May 5th.
Bill does like these trendy things all year long. Like he'll do 6 weeks with no oxygen.
Yep.
don't you need it for your tennis? Water. Don't you need sugar? You need some. Oh, you got enough energy.
Yeah.
You're good.
I'm fine.
Look at he's bouncing up and down.
Some might say too much. Well,
who
thank
would
you.
Say that?
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thanks.
Mary. Tomorrow,
not thank a big you. Deal.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on the show, John DeCoste will be here. We will name our first finalist for Car Eoki. Eoki. And we'll find another one as well. You guys have McEnroe today?
Tennis great John McEnroe in just a few minutes.
Is he going to curse at you?
Yeah, we hope so. That's our goal.
This is one of Bill's idols.
I love him.
Yeah.
Well, he's like a little kid right now.
I have
now.
Good news for you.
What's that?
The company that just merged with our company owns the Tennis Channel.
Do they really?
Sinclair
owns
tennis?
The Tennis
Channel.
Wow. Excellent.
Yeah.
Bill's bouncing in his chair again.
Yeah, he's excited now.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. And again, thanks to everybody at the Komen Foundation and that amazing young man, Anthony Braglia, who is now turning around with his girlfriend and going back to Illinois State so they can get their final in.
Go Redbirds.
Well, what a nice thing for his mom.
So nice.
He was sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Still is.
For those of you who want to get involved with Komen, you just search Susan Komen anytime. Yep. But Susan the event is Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? It's a super fun event. There's a ton of people. Something to do with your mom, your grandma, your aunt, your daughter, and then go on brunch.
Yeah, it's true. It doesn't have to be a tribute. Do it for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Would it kill you to do something for other people?
Not once.
All right, then. I'm trying to get you ready for McEnroe.